بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وضرب الله مثلا قرية كانت آمنة مطمئنة يأتيها رزقها رغدا من كل مكان فكفرت بأنعم الله فأذاقها الله لباس الجوع والخوف بما كانوا يصنعون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver, Hazrat Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayh, the nephew of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, son of Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anha, Urwa bin Zubair, he takes his very beloved young son by the name of Muhammad bin Urwa on one occasion to visit Walid bin Abdul Malik, who was the governor at the time. Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayhi is now traveling, and when he reaches Walid bin Abdul Malik, Walid bin Abdul Malik, who was the Amir of the time, was very, very happy to have such an honorable guest like Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayh. Very delighted, welcomed them, entertained them. But hardly any time went past and Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayh began to feel some pain in his leg. And many times it happens, you go visiting somewhere, you go for a holiday, suddenly you get some sharp pain. And the pain was excruciating. So Walid bin Abdul Malik sends many of his physicians and doctors to go and examine Urwa bin Zubair's leg. Until one physician, he realizes that Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayhi's leg was gangrened and there was no way out but to amputate his leg. Difficult situation. They had made mashwara, and the only thing was now to amputate his leg. But Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayhi prepared to undergo the operation without any anesthetic. He refused to drink any medication or take anything that's going to make him sleep drowsy and sleep away and will affect him. So everybody was concerned that how is he going to do it? But the doctor comes, the surgeon comes, and he has three small sores. And Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayhi very bravely undergoes his operation without any anesthetic. And he presses his face into the pillow. He bears the pain. He is bleeding. He is perspiring. Just a few sounds of like a hissing sound, without any complaint whatsoever, Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayhi's leg is amputated, operation is done. Walid bin Abdul Malik is surprised that how is Urwa bearing such pain. And he turns around and he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he asks for his leg to be brought. His perfumes, washed, perfume, everything, and then buried in the Qabristan. Now imagine what he went through. He went to visit Walid bin Abdul Malik, and he has to go through such a severe calamity that his leg is amputated. And whilst all this is happening, his little son Muhammad happens to go into the stable where the horses were kept. And suddenly one horse becomes very, very excited and wild, and it tramples over this little child of Urwa, Muhammad. So Muhammad, the baby, is trampled to death. Now this is another calamity. And the people found it extremely difficult to go and break the news to him. The man has just underwent a very severe operation. He has lost a limb of his body. How are they going to tell him now this musibah has come? So they go to a person by the name of Majishun, senior person, he goes and then sits with Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayhi and talks to him about the short life of dunya and maut is inevitable and we have to leave this world and sometimes dear ones and near ones have to pass. So while he's talking, Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi catches up. He says, tell me, something has happened? Is it my little son who has accompanied me on this journey? He says, yes. And he explains to him what happened. He says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But a very beautiful statement on both occasions, when his leg was amputated, and now at the loss of his child, he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa aymuk. Yani, iqasam in Allah. Wa aymuk. He says, la'in akhazta, laqad abqayta. If you have taken away one limb, then wallah, you left other limbs in my body still. You took away one limb, but the other limbs are still intact. And oh Allah, لَإِنْ إِبْتَلَيْتَ, if you have tested me, لَقَدْ عَافِيتَ, you have given me afiyat and safety from so many other balas. It could have been worse. Imagine, both these things. Leg is amputated and on the demise of his son. It's a very heavy test. And many times you and I also go through severe calamities, tests, trials, tribulation of dunya. Each one is tested differently. And sometimes we feel it's one after the other. Very commonly we say that, I don't know what's happening, one after the other. But Walid bin Abdul Malik is very concerned and, you know, he feels sorry, he feels pity for Urwa. And he's thinking that, I need to, like, you know, console him. And what is the best way to console him? Although he's so strong, but from his side he was feeling pity. And so happens, some travelers were going past, and amongst them there was a blind person. Walid bin Abdul Malik rahmatullah asked him, tell me, how did you get blind? Were you born blind? Or you lost your eye through some problem? He says, I was the most richest person in my family. Very wealthy, and I had children, I had a family, everything going very well. And suddenly our town was struck with severe floods. And in the floods I lost my entire family, besides my one son and a camel that was there. So he says, whilst the flood is wiping out every person's possessions and belongings, I grabbed my little son, I saved him, and I was still reaching for the camel. So I just placed my son down for a few seconds and going to say, to try and catch the camel, at least some means of survival, when suddenly I heard a loud shriek. And when I turn around, I see the head of my son in the mouth of a wolf. But before I could even try and save him, he was at the jaws of death and he was killed. And then I tried to catch the camel, but the camel kicked me in my eye, and this is the reason, this is the cause of my losing my sight. Walid bin Abdul Malik takes him and goes to Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayhi and tells Urwa, see this man's problem. See what he went through. But Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayhi had resigned himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whatever this calamity had come upon me, one after the other, even in this condition, he still made shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He still praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not complain against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not grumble. He did not say, Wallah, why you did this to me? Why did you do that to me? In this dunya, when any musibat comes, our ulama, mashayikh was mentioned, that we are three groups of people. And the one group, when any musibat comes, loss of family or loss of property, whatever it is, we commonly begin to complain. Shikwe shikayat karte hai hum. Shikwa all the time, complaining. This is not right, that's not right. We complain about the weather. It's too cool today, it's too hot today. We go some person's house to visit, and we come out and we complain the food was not right. Or they didn't even offer us anything. All the time mumbling, grumbling, complaining, never any shukr coming out of our zuban. So these people, when any calamity come upon them, because they are complaining, oh Allah, why me? I'm reading tahajjud namaz, I'm reading Quran, tilawat, and still these things happening to me? So then these tests upon this person are not a blessing, it's not a rahmat. In fact, it is an azab. The second group of people are those who exercise full sabr and patience. And they don't complain at all. But with that, they make dua to Allah for afiyat, ya Allah, remove our difficulty. But they are happy and they accept the taqdeer that Allah has written out for them. So they never complain against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They exercise full sabr. And yes, the third group never complains, no shikwa, no shikayat. They are one step higher than the second group who make sabr, which is excellent. But the third group, they make shukr in fact. They make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the condition they are faced with. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, when any musibat would come upon him, he would say, Alhamdulillah, this musibat did not affect my deen, my iman. It came onto my dunya, some loss of dunya, but not on my deen. My iman I did not lose my iman. My deen was not affected. And he would say, it could have been a heavier musibat, a more severe musibat. Allah's praise, Allah's shukr, that Allah Ta'ala gave me a musibat, but it could have been worse. In dunya, the person will say, okay, I've got TB, Allah save us, Allah give us afiyat. But the person, I got TB, shukr, I didn't get cancer. And the person gets cancer, then he says, shukr, I didn't get fourth grade or fourth degree or the fourth stage of cancer, I just got second stage of cancer. So still he's making shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Oh, he says, Allah's fazal, Allah's shukr, I didn't get it 20 years ago when I was young and I had young children. I got it at this stage. So in other words, he is making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a person who says in Arabic, he says, Iyaka wa mujalasata ahli tadhammur. Beware of sitting in the company of those who mumble and grumble and complain all the time. فَإِنَّهُمْ يُضْعِفُونَ الْيَقِينَ. Because such people, they make our yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala weak. They make our yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala weak. And they make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also very weak. No shukr in their lives. He says, sit in the company of Ahlul Hamd. That whatever condition, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Allah shukr, Alhamdulillah. We used to hear these words from our grandparents and great-grandparents, many years ago, in the homes, there was little food, perhaps just one pot, and you would have had a table of not only the sons and daughters, the grandchildren, nephews, nieces, everybody eating. The man would earn little, but there was so much of barakah, because there was always shukr, and we should hear with our own ears, and see our grandparents, our parents and grandparents, after eating, shukr alhamdulillah. Shukr alhamdulillah. Where are those words today? Do we hear our children, grandchildren saying shukr alhamdulillah? Let alone reading the du'as, the masnoon du'as, which Rasul has taught us after eating. We don't even talk about those du'as. We don't even remember those du'as. So the third group, they make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person says, sit with Ahlul Hamd. With those who praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they praise Allah, they make the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُبْصِرُونَ فَضْلَ رَبِّهِمْ فِي الشِّدَّةِ كَمَا فِي الرِّخَى كَمَا فِي الرَّخَى. Like, they keep on looking at the fadl, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in times of adversity and difficulty, just as they do in times of prosperity and happiness. When Allah gives them, they make shukr alhamdulillah. When there's some difficulty, shukr alhamdulillah. So these are the three groups. May Allah Ta'ala make us from the best group. Never complaining, making sabr, in fact more than sabr, shukr to Allah Ta'ala. But we must not make dua to be tested. If the calamity comes, then Allah will give us a tawfiq of reaching that stage where we at least don't ever make any shikayat against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Luqman alayhi salatu salam, many ulama have mentioned that he was a very wise person. Some say he was a Nabi, others say no, he was not a Nabi. In fact, he was a slave of a master, but extremely pious, very well known for his words of wisdom. Allah granted him hikmah. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ In fact, Allah commands him to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a slave and his master was very, very fond of him. And the master sits with him one day and he has a musk melon and they cut it into pieces and the master with his own hands is passing on this piece of musk melon to Luqman and he relishes it, he eats it with a smile. And the master gives him another piece, and a third piece, and a fourth piece. And the master is enjoying feeding this slave of his because he was a very pious person. And then the master takes one piece himself, only realizing that this piece, this musk melon, that is absolutely bitter, and he spits it out. He looks at Luqman, oh Luqman, it is so bitter, and how are you eating it with a smile? So Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam explains to his master that, oh my beloved master, hamesha aap mujhe meethi cheez khilate hain. You always give me sweet things. Aaj jab aapne mujhe karvi cheez khilai, to main na shukri kyun karu? And today you have given me something which is bitter. Why should I be ungrateful to you? Imagine how many ni'mat Allah has given you and I, and how many ni'mat we spit out. We literally spit out with no gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only ungratefulness. And this is the plot of shaitan. Surah Al-A'raf. It's a very lengthy discussion where shaitan is dispelled from Jannah and then he says, لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ Wallah, I will come to mankind from the front, from the right, from the right, from the left, from behind him, and I will try my level best to mislead mankind. And then in end he says, Wala tajidu aktharahum shakirin. Wallah, you won't find most of them being grateful servants to you. What is his plan? What is his maqsad? What is his aim? What is his target? He wants us to be ungrateful servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that we forget al-mun'im al-haqiqi, our real muhsin, our real benefactor, our real cherisher, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will make kufran of the ni'mat. We will not show appreciation of the ni'mat Allah has given us, and ultimately He will mislead us again. He'll make more effort until we disbelieve and we reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what shaitan wants. After mentioning, Wallah, I'll come from all sides, he says, Wala tajidu aktharahum shakirin. My respected friends and elders, we have to make shukr to Allah, shukr to Allah. Allah has given us such ni'mats. It is said in Arabic, what is shukr? Ash-shukru qaydul mawjood wa saydul mafqood. What is shukr? Shukr is preserving the ni'mats that you and I are enjoying. When you make shukr to Allah, the good health we have, Allah is going to preserve that ni'mat for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then bring more and more ni'mat. He will increase that ni'mat and it will bring other bounties also. It will draw other bounties. Two things. One is hifazat of the ni'mat. Whatever ni'mat we got, we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala genuinely. Then Allah will preserve that ni'mat for us. And then He'll increase that ni'mat. And over and above that, Allah will give us many other ni'mat that we will enjoy. Qaydul mawjood. Wasaydul mafqood. Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. They directed the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to making shukr to Allah Rabbul Izzat. يَعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُودَ شُكْرًا وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam tells his family to make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find in the story of Suleiman and Bilqis, رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيِّ. Allah inspire me, Allah you guide me, enable me to make shukr of your ni'mat that you've bestowed upon me and my parents. وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا and I must do good deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exerting himself in ibadah, in tahajjud, in sujood, every single night to such an extent that his feet become swollen, the feet begin to crack, they are blistered. And Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha reminds Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you exerting yourself? When Allah has pardoned you completely, all your sins, past, present, future, you are masoom, sinless. What did he say? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant? When Allah has given me such ni'mat, should I not show gratitude to Allah Rabbul Izzah? And therefore, Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali had mentioned that where gratitude as a cloak, and it will feed every corner of your life. When you make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will the shukr do? It will give you happiness. It will take away your depression. Because you won't be complaining. You get sukoon in your life. When you get sukoon in your life, Allah ta'ala will direct you to His muhabbah. You are making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your health will be intact. Your life in this dunya will be an enjoyable one. And when you are tested, you will realize that Allah is Hakim, all wise. Allah is Hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the ruler, He is the judge, He does as He wishes. He is my creator. So there is no sense me complaining. I rather make shukr of Allah Rabbul Izzat. But when a person does not make the shukr of Allah, he does not have the marifat of Allah. There is no sukoon in his life. There is only restlessness. There is only becheni. He is only complaining and complaining. And this is not going to give him any satisfaction and peace of the mind and any serenity. In fact, it will lead to his depression. What is the ilaj? Simple. Look at those, as far as dunya is concerned, who are less fortunate than you are. Rasulullah says, انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. If you look at a man who's got more wealth, then you're going to be burning all the time. You won't be grateful to Allah, you keep on complaining. The man who came to the masjid and his shoes were stolen. Oh, the first thing, somebody stole my shoes. He begins to grumble, complain. Then I came for salat and somebody takes my shoe away. But when he goes outside, he sees by the masjid, by the entrance, somebody standing who's got no legs. He's got crutches. Or somebody is supporting him. Then he realizes, what is the pair of shoe? This man has got no legs. So when you look at somebody lower than you in dunya, as far as the material things of the dunya, or whatever is related to dunya, somebody who is less fortunate, then you will make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. When we're eating food now, we have so much of food. At that moment, think of our brothers and sisters in Gaza. How less fortunate they are. They have nothing. How much Allah has given us. Immediately we should be making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think it was last week or the other week, I mentioned when the tables turn. Imagine if we complain and complain and complain all the ni'mats we enjoy now, and Allah who has given us His bounties, if He wishes to snatch it away from us. What is going to happen to us if we become destitute and become paupers? So the more shukr we will make, Allah will increase the ni'mat. We get sukoon in our life. And make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah SAW taught us a dua after every farz salat. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika
وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ. Allah, you help me in making your dhikr properly, making your shukr properly, and making your ibadat properly. Simple. Dhikr, shukr, and your ibadat. Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullahi says that we owe Allah Ta'ala our gratitude, not our sour faces. Not our sour faces. Be happy. Allah has given us so much. You know, just the ability to be able to pass urine. We go to the toilet. Ask those people, Allah save us, who had some problem. And then they had to undergo operation. What pain they underwent. I'm unable to go to the toilet. A man is in excruciating pain. And therefore Rasulullah has taught us, when we come out, what do we say? Ufranak. Alhamdulillah, alladhi, praise be to Allah, alladhi azhaba anni al-adha wa afani. Allah removed this taklif. What relief we have got. Allah has given me afiyat. Imagine if Allah didn't create a system in our body for relieving ourselves. What would happen? We'd be smelling. How great and how loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So in dunya also, a person does good to you, appreciate the ni'mat. Appreciate the ni'mat. Thank the person. Tell him, jazakumullahu khairan. He will show muhabbat to you. He will love you. In the past, there was muhabbat amongst family members, relatives. One of the reasons why there's no more muhabbat, because we don't appreciate each person's kindness over us, or one over one another. There's no more jazakumullah, there's no more shukr, there's no more thanks. So when there's no more shukr, then that bond, the family unit, now suddenly it begins to break. There's no sukoon. But if you thank the person, in fact he'll look forward to giving you another gift. He'll be happy to entertain you in your house. A man thanks you profusely. Jazakallah khairan. Allah give you barakah. Allah be happy with you. Won't you want to give him more? Now my respected friends and elders, when you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, won't he want to give you more love? Won't Allah ta'ala want to give you more and more ni'mats? Because you're genuinely thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of your tongue, by means of your heart, by means of your actions, making shukr to Allah Rabbul Izzat. My respected friends and elders, we all of us, so many times we face with such situations in dunya, whether we're teaching, whether we're making imamat, or whether we're in the business, in the accounting firm, or we are getting married, or we've got this issue or that problem, or we're in school, or we've got businesses, and things are not going very well. We complain and complain. We forget that my Allah has given me so many bounties. I've actually forgotten so many years of my life that Allah bestowed such great favors upon me. And that is why in the tafsir, we're not going to go to the tafsir of Al-Adiyat some other time, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودِ. That man is so ungrateful to Allah, to his Rabb. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that he actually counts the musibah that came upon him. This happened to me, that happened to me, this happened to me. وَيَنْسَ النِّعَمْ. He forgets all the bounties Allah has given him. Forgets it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example in the Quran and Majid about ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً, a village, a town. Mufassirin has said it was Makkah Mukarramah, but others have said that it is قَرْيَةً, could be any قَرْيَةً right till the day of Qiyamah, any village and people of village who show ungratefulness or ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this group of people, or this qarya, whichever village it was, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً towards. They had amnesty, protection, safety. In other words, they did not have outside fear of being attacked by an outside enemy. Absolutely, they could travel, caravans moving up and down. Nobody would dare attack their caravan. So they had aman, peace, security with regard to any outside fear of an enemy attacking them. Mutma'inna, inside they had itminan, they had serenity, peace of mind. How often we find that we grip with such a fear. Myself, I'm very weak. Allah, give me the taqwiyat of my qalb. How often you find, ish, this fear. And the fear just goes more and more and more and more and more. And we're not getting any chain. So, aminatan mutma'inna. Ya'tiha rizquha ragadan. Min kulli makan, from all sides, the rosy of these people, this town, was coming to them very easily. Fakafarat bi'an'umillah. But they showed ungratefulness to all the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala said, fa'athaqaha Allahu libasa al-ju'i wal-khawfi bima kanu yasna'un. Because of the ingratitude to Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allah made them wear a garment of hunger and fear. Wasn't literally Allah gave them a robe or a garment, but Allah describes like how when a person wears a garment, you're wearing a garment all the time during the day, at night, when you go to sleep. When you're training, you're wearing a garment. When you're visiting some person, you're wearing a garment. In the masjid, you're wearing a garment. You go home, you're wearing a garment. So the garment is with the person all the time. Here, two things, khawf, fear, and hunger, as though they have been draped and covered by a garment of fear and hunger. This was on as a result of them being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant all of us a tawfiq of making shukr, 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 shukr. There are so many verses in the Quran. Normally we give the verse, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try and enumerate every bounty Allah has bestowed you with, you will never be able to count all. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. My respected friends and elders, what is the natija, the result of making shukr? I mentioned to you, Allah will preserve that bounty, Allah will increase that bounty, Allah will give you, it will draw more bounties and more ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And more than all that, that's in dunya, in jannah you will get, in akhirat you will get jannah. You'll be safe from Allah's azab. Why? Allah says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. What will Allah Ta'ala do? How will Allah gain? In punishing you, if you are making shukr to Allah, and you have got iman in Allah. Allah has given us iman. We have to make sure that we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala all the time, and preserve all these bounties by making shukr to Allah Rabbul Izzat, and teach our women folk, our children, our grandchildren, when you eat food, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana وَسَقَانَا وَجَعَلَنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. Teach them the du'as. At least if they can't read the du'as, they're still younger. Shukr alhamdulillah. Inshallah, if we do this, then we will find our lives becoming more positive. We won't have negativity in our life. We'll have more sukoon in our life. Allah will bestow and Allah will preserve so many bounties that we have. And Allah will give us much more. Allah grant all of us tawfiq and hidayat to make us from the shakirin. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.